Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. First hour coming up is Dave Hodges' Common Sense Show. All right. That's going to be coming up. I just wanted to touch on a few things first. Folks, of course, go to HagmanReport.com, bookmark HagmanReport.com. And also on top, there's a bar or a banner, depending on what you would like. How to call it. Go ahead and click on that. That'll take you to our, page of various, audio and video shows, episodes, and then click through that. And that'll take you directly to the episodes. And if you follow through on the episode descriptions, you can see where you can click and hit subscribe to us on Rumble or a Rumble page, and you can subscribe and, of course, dialogue there on Rumble. So having said all of that, subscribe to us on Rumble. Please do that. Or on Brighteon. We're on both platforms. We are no longer on YouTube, of course, because why? Well, they're the belly in the belly of the beast, or are the belly of the beast, so we don't want that. All right. Tomorrow, announcement for tomorrow, Steve Quayle is going to be on with Lisa Haven. It's my understanding. I think the schedules are working out well for that. And, I want to also give notice here. My good friend and colleague Craig Sawyer happened to be on the War Room with Steve Bannon today, early this morning. I don't know if folks caught that, tremendous appearance, and, a hat tip to Craig Sawyer. Had some conversation with him earlier this week, and I'll tell you what, what's going on in the southern border is a crime, but it's an industrial scale crime, as Steve Bannon says, but it's also a product of the Biden / Communist Chinese Party / Maoist globalist cabal. That's what's taking place. It's a Cloward Piven. Let's just, flood the system. And that, of course, goes back to the old communist, socialist, but communist objectives to flood the system. You know, one thing we're not hearing after the massacre by the Muslim in Boulder, Colorado, a couple of things. We're not hearing about the races of those who are killed. Hey, all lives matter. Doesn't matter if you're black or if you're white. It doesn't matter. We're not hearing about the races of those murdered in Boulder. All white, of course. Caucasian. The motive of the shooter, which is truly Islamic terrorism, a jihad. The Boulder murderer is really a product, and the murders are a product of the communist left. And we have to certainly understand that. All of this goes part and parcel to everything that's happening all across our country. The opening of the southern border. And I go back to Craig Sawyer talking about the $38 to $50 billion child sex trafficking industry. You know, people underestimate and people don't understand the scope of what's taking place. And it doesn't matter if you live in a border state in the south or a border state in the north or any ocean states on the east or west coast. I'm telling you right now, it's a problem in every state. Human and child sex trafficking. And what Biden and his crew, and this is not Biden. In fact, I would say very little is actually Biden, because Biden is pretty much a French fry, crispy critter. It is those pulling the strings for Biden, but it's the globalist cabal. And, you know, it was interesting, too. I had mentioned this yesterday during the first hour about really how Biden and Obama were talking amongst themselves. You know, Obama really loathes Joe Biden. Okay. But nonetheless, that does not preclude, that loathing does not preclude Obama using Biden as the funnel for the communist agenda. Let me know, Eric the Tech, how are you, by the way, today?
Doing good.
All right. Let me know when we have our guest on.
He's ready.
Oh, he's ready. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Folks, you know Dave Hodges. Every one of you, I think, knows Dave Hodges. And if you're new to this show, if you haven't heard about Dave Hodges, and we're picking up new listeners and viewers all the time, Dave Hodges has got a great website, a great video and audio product, commonsenseshow.com. In fact, if you go down the program description box, this program description box right now, today, in today's episode, you'll find links to the Common Sense Show, Dave Hodges, and it's great to have him. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Doug. Great to be on.
Even before people were talking about China, Dave Hodges was talking about China. Even before people were talking about the presence of Chinese in to our north, Dave Hodges was talking about that, and people were saying, "Oh, well." Turns out, Dave Hodges was not only correct, he was damn correct. And for that, I thank him. So, folks, go to the link in the program description box. It'll take you right to the Common Sense Show. Make sure you bookmark that website, follow Dave, and listen to what he's got to say. So, yeah, interesting times indeed, sir. What are we doing?
You know, when it comes to the Chinese, they had developed these weapons in combination with Israel. I mean, there's nothing left to the imagination here on this. He said that we can't be like the Nazis. They were unfocused. They didn't realize who their main enemy was. He said, we pretend it's Taiwan, but it's not. It's America. We need their resources to survive. We plan to occupy them with 300 million colonists. And they're behind the cartels. They have a military presence, a strong one on both borders. They compromise world leaders to our detriment. They're the world policemen today. So when the UN says, hey, we think there's trouble in America here, we need to send somebody in under the Kigali principles and render humanitarian aid, they'll be from China. Mm. And this is our future. But more importantly, I wrote an article today, Doug, that might interest you. It's the first of two parts. And I went through, and I've made this analogy before. I said, Obama was the eighth inning setup guy, to use a baseball analogy, where the eighth inning pitcher is a guy that comes in and simply just holds the lead and sets the stage for the closer to come in the ninth inning and finish out the game. And Obama had all these policies, and we could talk about a few of them here, but he was the setup guy for Hillary Clinton, who was to be the executioner of America along with communist China. Well, something happened, and there was divine providence. Against all odds, God gave America another chance, another 4 years. And we sat back on our lazy you-know-whats and said, he'll take care of it. And then we trusted the fictional QAnon AI artificial fake intelligence. And we said, they'll all take care of it. Well, they've taken care of it. And our indifference, our bystander apathy, is now coming to bite us in the you-know-what. And all the policies of Obama are now coming into fruition, clear view. So the first part of the article that I published this morning on thecommonsenseshow.com, I went through and I detailed like Executive Order 13603, FM 39.4, the attempted H1N1 rehearsals for mandatory vaccinations that took place in Colorado, Michigan, New York, and New Jersey. And I had insider information on that back in 2009, did radio shows on it.
Yep.
Nobody wanted to pay attention. Nobody. And I went through everything, the false flag shootings. I mean, the parallels between the Aurora Batman massacre in 2012 and what's going on in Boulder are stunning. Stunning.
Okay,
Doug, I'm sure you've
so?
Covered this.
Yeah.
Did you know that Boulder tried to pass a gun control legislation about 10 days ago and it failed?
Yes. I thought a judge overturned the existent ban. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. They tried to reinstitute it, and they dropped it. And how convenient this would happen in Boulder.
Right. Which, and I find it very interesting, too, because I think you might have pointed this out, but the subject, the alleged perpetrator, you have to use alleged, of course, the Muslim who carried out this shooting was known to FBI, to the FBI. You know, boy, this is just fitting a pattern, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It never changes. We have their playbook. That's how we know it's a false flag. We have the playbook, Doug.
Okay.
They're just betting on the fact that the public as a whole is so darn ignorant they can get away with it again and again and again. And here are the calls for gun confiscation. But pretty amazing. Hey, I want to throw this out there.
Okay.
I want to shake the trees here of the administration, and I want to do it on your show.
All right.
In Kingman, Arizona, which is part of Mojave County, northern Arizona, bordering Nevada, not far from Vegas, they have a mayor there in Kingman named, they call her Mad Dog Jen Miles. And she ran unopposed as a Republican, posed as a sweet little old grandmother, conservative, and I just want to keep things going. And I did a background check on her. She's a member of the Progressive Alliance. And now the people of Kingman are so tired of the draconian lockdown procedures in really the worst part of Arizona. Arizona's kind of opening up, but Kingman and Mojave County aren't. And they're being controlled by communists, literally and figuratively, which is another story. But I went up there with Sheriff Mack in October to kick off the recall effort against this mayor. Well, they threw out the recall effort, and that's a bizarre story unto itself. Someone in the local hospital administrator filed a petition to get rid of the recall. And I think that it's so bizarre. And the defendants in the action was the subject of the recall, the mayor and her husband. It was
really
unbelievable.
No, wait a second, because, okay, you're talking about Jen Miles now, the mayor of Kingman, Arizona.
Yes.
Okay. So, because I'm looking at an article right here, the Mojave County Recorder's Office on Thursday, this is dated a few weeks ago, certified the signatures on recall petitions against Kingman Mayor Jen Miles, who has come under criticism for the city's mask mandate. So what you're saying now, just now, is that recall petition was tossed at the behest of or facilitated by a hospital administrator?
Mm-hmm. And the defendant is the mayor in her own recall. I mean, I could not sit down on my computer unless I ingested massive amounts of LSD and come up with something so crazy. And then the judge came out in the paper and said, we found it disappointing that no one showed up from the other side because no one was served. The primary person behind the recall is a lady named Bridget Langston, who I've got to know pretty well. In fact, I just talked to her before we came on air. And Bridget detailed the story on my radio show, which is airing tomorrow morning on our affiliates, and then again on Sunday night on Global Star Radio Network and its affiliates. But listen to this, Doug. This is the punchline here. The punchline is not the throwing out of the recall under very bizarre circumstances. It's not the corruption in Kingman with the judge and the mayor and all these people in collusion. Here's the punchline. We live in a state in Arizona that begrudgingly is opening. Now, Doug Ducey is a communist Chinese ally, our governor, and he worked very hard for voter fraud to make sure that Trump lost in Arizona, and we've documented all that. But what's happening now in this state that is begrudgingly opening up in Kingman, Bridget just discovered, and we're pursuing this under Freedom of Information Act, the governor covertly sent Mojave County, where Kingman's located, $41 million of COVID aid. Oh, wait a minute now.
The money.
We're supposed to be turning around and the vaccines are working and so forth and so on. And yet here the governor is throwing them $41 million of COVID aid. Seems to be a little discrepancy there, doesn't there?
I'm not exactly sure what to say to that.
Well, I have a theory. I've been pursuing the fact through my sources, and they've been telling me this, Dave, you got to pay attention. I said, you got to give me something more substantial before I'll print it. But they tell me that China's working on a whole lot more designer viruses that are going to be brought across the border by the infectons. And they say that the border surge is a cover in part. One of the operations is going to be the infectons crossing the border to spread mayhem and disease across the country. And I said, okay, makes sense. I can see China doing it, but I don't really have anything I can link to this substantially. But I look at this $41 million and I'm saying, could it be possible that the governor knows something is coming that the rest of us don't?
All right. When you put it like that, that's kind of chilling when you put it like that. So what you're saying, okay. So I think folks, you're following Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com, by the way. I think if you're following what he's saying, and I know you are, you can see that this is being planned out in a manner that, to me reflects, well, part of a larger agenda, Dave. I think that, and now you're starting to uncover the layers and identify the people who are behind this.
Let me give you something about our governor.
Okay.
This is hardcore and in print. Ducey made a speech not long ago where he was addressing the conference he had with communist Chinese representatives. And he said, yes, we have some rare earth metals that will be useful to the Chinese military. That's pretty close to a quote. So slight paraphrase, but it's very close to a quote. And that ended up in print. I could not make this up, Doug. I wouldn't even think that a governor would be thinking in this fashion.
What business does he have to give rare earth minerals to an enemy country, a communist country?
Well, first of all, you'd think it'd be under the jurisdiction of the BLM. Of course, they gave uranium to Hillary Clinton for Uranium-1 to give our enemies what they need to build nuclear weapons to kill us with. But, yeah, the governor, that kind of surprised me, too. But when you start tracing this governor's actions, this is really incredible. We have really the most corrupt governor. I think he's worse than anything California's ever had. It's just not coming to light. We had a child sex scandal here involving the Marshall Islands. And this was before the pandemic. And it was all the rage in the media for about 1 week. And then, boom, flip the switch, never heard anymore. This gentleman, and his name jumps out of my head. He was a county commissioner making county assessor making $70,000 a year. And he was importing women from the Marshall Islands who were pregnant, housing them in East Mesa, and then, getting them to have their babies delivered and separated from them. In other words, it was a child trafficking organization. Human bondage involving the Marshall Island women that were paid a pittance. And this man was doing this massive operation by himself on a $70,000 salary, which no way in hell that happened by himself. Well, he had a multitude of charges. The media is all over it. And like I said, they flipped the switch. And then he's only being charged with a lesser included charge that may not even send him to prison. And the Maricopa County District Attorney, which is the major entity for – it's a county entity for Phoenix, basically. They have started dismissing charges. The governor was called on to order a task force to investigate. He refused. So that's the governor in that instance. And then when the voter fraud happened in Arizona, this is even more egregious. The state legislature petitioned the governor – to open up for special session in January. This is before the January 6th certification date. The governor says, no, you can open up on the date you're inclined to open up on, legally bound to January 13th, 1 week after certification. And at the same time, the state Senate here issued a subpoena to the Maricopa County commissioners. And they said, we want your voting machines. Mm-hmm. And they refused the subpoena. The Senate went to court and won.
Yep.
And guess what? The voting machines still have not been surrendered. And Ducey is doing nothing as the chief executive officer of this state to enforce this court ruling. In other words, the fix is in. And Doug, let me just give one more thing.
No, that's fine.
I'll put it up
keep
for your
going.
Questions. But this is really important. Ducey has a huge conflict of interest. He's on the board of directors of a corporation named TGen. TGen's tied into the vaccine industry and our friend Bill Gates, in quotes, and also testing for COVID with Sonora Quest Laboratories, which in Arizona is the largest testing agent in the state. So one stroke of his pen can move millions or billions of dollars, and I called on him to either resign from one or the other because he doesn't have to have an overt act to have a conflict of interest. But he has had overt acts. And let's just go down this path. Trump announced that the vaccines don't have to be mandatory. That's exact quote, don't have to be mandatory. He never called for a mandatory vaccination. Ducey makes money, and TGen makes money if it's mandatory. Hence, Ducey's participation in voter fraud and preventing the legislature from monitoring their own elections. And I'm just getting started on Ducey. Doug, this is absolutely incredible story here in Arizona that's brewing.
Folks, do you see now why Dave Hodges brings the goods? I mean, he brings the goods, and you see why he's respected in terms of his investigative journalism? Because he's got the names, he's got the dates, he's got the times, he's got the evidence. He brings the goods with him. And this is Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. Folks, if you're not listening, if you're not plugged into that outlet, you're missing out. My good friend Dave Hodges, I've been lucky to have dinner with Dave, and where the heck were we?
We were Branson,
that's where.
Steve's yeah. conference.
Yeah, okay.
Steve's great conference.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, as a matter of fact, shared a cup of coffee with him in the morning, and you know, we had just listening to Dave Hodges, and I'm not, you know, this is not false flattery. I mean, just listening to him, he's committed more to memory than most people, you know, have taken notes about. So, all right, but let me get this straight, because Maricopa County is really, you look at Arizona, what is it, 75-80% of Arizona is Maricopa County in terms of population. Is that about right? I mean, it's...
let me think here. 4.5 million in Maricopa County, 7.5 million for the state. So I'm going to say maybe 60%, okay, 65%. So. We have... Pima County, Pinal County, they're pretty heavily populated, and that's the corridor between Phoenix and Tucson.
Right, okay, all right.
And then we have Flagstaff, of course, and Yuma's crossed over about 120,000 people. I mean, so we have some population centers here, but Maricopa County is this seat of power. And Doug, Maricopa County has been as corrupt can be, the state of Arizona. In fact, when I first came here, one of the first ladies I met was a lady that was just defeated in the general election for a state house position. And she said, "Hi, Dave, welcome to Arizona. We have the best politicians that money can buy." And man, was that ever a true statement.
Sad.
Sad, but true. I mean, here you have the county commissioners blatantly refusing subpoenas, court orders. Where are the voting machines? In fact, on election night, let me tell you what happened on election night. It was around 5:30, 6 o'clock before the polls closed. People started contacting me, and they were sending me videos and accounts that in heavy Republican districts in Maricopa County, mostly in the southeastern part of the county, and Gilbert and Chandler and Tempe, heavy Republican. These people had black pens taken away from them that would mark the ballots and given Sharpies that bled through, and their votes were disallowed. They started to get angry, and this is why they were sending me material, and they started protesting, shouting that there was fraud, and CNN shows up. And so they're in the background. You can hear them yell, FCNN, FCNN. So Sheriff Penzoni, I call him Penzoni, his name's Penzone, I can't stand the man, he's a Democrat through and through, total liberal, total Hillary supporter. He shows up and bullhorns these people and tells them, if you don't shut up and stop chanting, you're going to jail. Nice First Amendment here in Maricopa County. No concern about the voter fraud allegations at all. And so election night was chaotic in this state, totally chaotic, and no one is doing anything about it. I mean, they had a rally for Biden. You're going to love this story. The week before, Trump was here, And they had to turn away about 10,000 people because they had max capacity in the Coliseum where he was at. Then Biden has his rally and Fox News 10 shows up and they had the lady, she didn't know what to say. It's 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And she said, well, the rally's supposed to be here. I talked to someone from the campaign, but there's no one here. No one showed up for Biden's rally. Yet we're supposed to believe that SOB won Arizona.
Oh, the most popular man, the most popular president, even more so than Obama. To your point, though, I can't move past Maricopa County, okay? Because yesterday, Mike Lindell came out and said, look, we're still fighting. Maricopa County is still a hotbed of election intrigue. It's a hot mess. And he points out, through AZ Central, and I just want to quote this here. Where is it? Where do I have it? It's right here. Okay. So looking at Arizona, Arizona in general, 22,093 mail-in ballots were received the day before they were mailed. How in the hell does that happen? Okay. In Arizona, 33,400 estimated illegal aliens, a good estimate, were to have voted in this past election. You've got 7 supervisors. Am I right in Maricopa County, I think? 7?
5.
Okay. 4, then 4 are Republicans, 1's a Democrat, and they all are in contempt of, state congressional subpoena. Is that mm-hmm. correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. So why can't, Dave?
Because Ducey won't do anything. That's why nothing's done.
But what about
the chief executive officer of the state?
But you talked about the sheriff. The sheriff obviously is in the tank too.
He's a Democrat.
Well,
he goes after protesters that protest election fraud.
So how in the hell are we going to fight this?
You're not.
We have to.
Let me put it to you this way. All right. And I'm open for any and all suggestions, people. I'm not a defeatist. I'm a winner by nature. I'm a coach by trade. But here's the problem, Doug. The cheaters won the election and now they're memorializing their tactics and making them codified into law. There'll never be another free election in America as long as we have the existing system.
Which is why I go back and I say, you know, we cannot move past November 3rd, 2020. We cannot. We must not. We have to go back to that date. And you know, because people are saying, well, we'll get them in 2022. Just why? No, you're not, because we're done. If we don't fix 2020, 2022 and 2024 that's a bunch of crap. So, But okay, because we're right now, and I'll be honest with you, Dave, and I'm telling this to the world. My powder is dry, my guns are loaded, and I'm ready. I mean, you know, I'm waiting for that Paul Revere kind of, mentality to sink in with all of my fellow American patriots and say, look, we're not going to take this crap anymore. Battle of Athens, 1946, you had patriots. They took care of business at McMinn County, Tennessee, you know, when faced with this kind of crap. But they did it contemporaneous to the offenses. I guess, you know, we're 4 months into this hostage situation in America, this captured operation. You might be right. You might be right. Maybe there is no fixing this.
Well, I said this after the election, and I'm not advocating for violence. I never do because I'm a Christian. But I look at this from a geopolitical point of view. And when you've cheated and won the election and you control all future elections, there's no hope for divergent viewpoints, particularly when big tech is taking down anyone who has an opinion different than what the prevailing opinion is. So there's no winning there. And now I said that the only hope I think America has, and I'm not advocating for violence, but the military has to spring into action. They have to recognize their country's been conquered by communist influences, mostly China and the UN. And now we look at what's happening here. I'm actually preparing something that's going to come out in 2 days, and it's the attack upon the military by the Biden administration, and they're radicalizing the military by basically making it a criminal to be a loyal American. You shouldn't support people who support the Constitution. They're right-wing extremists. Anyone who supports the Second Amendment, no, those views can't be allowed in the ranks. That'll be considered to be a violation of the Military Code of Justice. The military is under attack from the Biden administration, and they're radicalizing them to turn them against us. And there are rumors out there right now that the Biden administration, his handlers, are trying to negotiate a lessening of America's influence around the world to make us more, shall we say, conquerable, if there's such a word. Listen, this comes to me from an RSOF source who was a lieutenant general. I've had the source for 18 years now. Came to me through a personal conflict that he and I had in common. And he told me quite clearly, he said, Biden is trying to actively destroy America and including its military prowess, actively trying to destroy in favor of China because they got the goods on him. And that's not secret. That's certainly been out there. And then Hunter Biden is just the symptom of the problem. We could go down so many avenues on this, but let me just give you an example of what we have here in Arizona in the way of senators.
All right.
This is still largely a conservative state, despite the California exodus to escape liberalism, and they bring their liberal BS with them here to our state. We still have probably 60, 65% of the people are conservative Republicans. But our two senators, Kirsten Sinema, oh, the lovely Kirsten. She was on Ernie Hancock's show, good friend of mine, the leader of Freedom's Phoenix. And she said on the show, and I quote, what's wrong with the Taliban? They're just fighting for freedom. And this was in the aftermath, of course, of 9/11. And then we've got good old Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, the husband of Gabby Giffords. Never met a bigger liberal than her. And our other senator has done millions of dollars of business with communist Chinese military firms. And those are our two senators.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Lucky
Arizona.
And then
we got a governor named Doug Ducey, whose real name used to be Roscoe. I think it was changed around the time he left high school. And I'm not saying it was changed for criminal reasons, but the Roscoe family is linked into numbers running and other organized criminal activities in Ohio.
His name went
from Roscoe to Ducey.
Wait a second.
I'm not the discovery of this. The staff at the New Times confronted him in a press conference, and then they published it in their paper. And they don't have the best reputation, but this was pretty well documented, and it's true. Our governor comes from an organized crime family. Of course, McCain married into one. The Hensley family, known bootleggers from the Depression days, and there's no evidence their ways ever changed. So that's when my friend Lorraine King, the late Lorraine King, when I first met her and she said, welcome to Arizona, we have the best politicians that money can buy, you're just getting a snapshot of this.
Oh, man. Wait a second. I still can't wrap my brain around the fact that you got a guy that changes his name from Roscoe to Ducey. You sure about that?
Yes.
I've
been doing this for a long time.
When
Ducey first got into politics, this emerged. And I looked at it, I said, okay, he's not a big enough fish to worry about. I don't care what his background is.
You're right. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you're right. Checking with official fact-checking sources, he was born Douglas Anthony Roscoe Jr. Why would I even think about asking you if you're sure about that? Because you are. When do you sleep? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just went and did the homework after I read it because I don't trust the New Times. But in this instance, they were 100% correct. And listen, I don't have any evidence he's tied into that kind of organized crime. He's just tied into political organized crime and treason. And I do mean treason. And Doug Ducey, if you're listening, you are a damn traitor to this republic, and you should suffer the fate of a traitor.
Mm. Well, with that, I agree folks, look at what's taking place in Arizona in a larger sense. And the $41 million that you mentioned too, which is not directly necessarily related, but it's peripherally related earlier on that you mentioned that, all of this stuff. My gosh, what do we, Okay. This is mind-blowing stuff. And folks, you might think that, my surprise is feigned. It's not. You know, the more you dig, the more you learn, and the more you learn, the more upset you get. And that's why I asked, when do you sleep? I mean, your homework is amazing. And I have to say this, folks, if you haven't done so already, certainly go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Bleh, can't talk. And take a look at the latest writing of, it's part one of a two-part series from Dave Hodges. And that is, of course, Obama's promise to fundamentally transform America being carried out under the Harris Biden, oh, I see what you did there, administration.
Well, it's true.
Oh, man.
In fact, she's insisting that it's called, she said this the other day, you should be referring to us as the Biden-Harris administration. Did we have the Trump-Pence administration? did we have the Reagan-Bush administration? I mean, were they publicly being labeled that way? I mean, what a joke that is.
No, and you know, it's in your face. They're laughing at us. Dave Hodges, what, I mean, this is so overtly criminal in its form that I've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, our friend Craig Sawyer was on, with Steve Bannon on War Room Pandemic earlier this morning. And, you know, I gotta tell you, okay, he was talking about the monetary gains, or the monetary, the profit from child and human sex trafficking and how it affects everything in the southern border and stuff like that. Given Arizona's proximity to the southern border, of course, and, this is, I have to believe that this is a part of it as well, I guess is what I'm saying. So,
well, let me reinforce that with a fact.
Okay.
This is in the news as of yesterday afternoon. Gila Bend, which is kind of a pit stop for people traveling from Arizona to California, and it's a little town, don't blink three times, you'll miss it. It's highly liberal, and they've consistently had a lot of people who are undocumented migrants. People there are friendly enough, and I'm not criticizing the community whatsoever, but they're liberal, and they're one of the liberal bastions of Maricopa County. Yesterday, the mayor of Gila Bend declared a city emergency because of all the migrants being dumped in his city.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about a Democrat declaring an emergency against Democratic practices.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying here. That's how over the top this administration is. And I've seen leaked photos, and I think some of them ended up on Fox, but I'm not sure. But I've seen leaked videos and photos of the conditions. When they were telling Trump that he put kids in cages, first of all, he did nothing that his predecessor didn't do. But this is worse than cages. We're talking that kids have to alternate sleeping on the floor to sleeping on something that's inadequate but called a mattress. And they're overcrowded. They're releasing tens of thousands of people into the night, into the communities, all over the country, and they're not COVID testing them. Now, you're going to have a COVID passport to get on an airplane, to work, to go into a business. You're going to have the COVID passport with you electronically. But we're releasing tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of migrants who are potentially COVID positive and infected. What the hell kind of sense does that make?
Exactly. And you know, what say you and me and families, we somehow make it to Yemen, and then from Yemen we'll get over to the Central America. We'll take a walk up to the southern border, cross over, and that way we don't have to, of course, we can change our names, and that way we don't have to succumb to any kind of COVID-19 84 vaccination cards, non-vaccine vaccination cards, right? It's bizarre. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Doug, I used to teach research and stat, among other things, for years. And I did it at a pretty high level. So I'm not going to brag. I'm just saying I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote two stat courses for a college. So I know what I'm talking about. This is in my wheelhouse, so I'm not speaking out of school here. The medical profession was the profession. Their research was what I used, historical research, to teach research techniques like control group, experimental group, levels of significance, etc., because it was all there. And they used to do it so well. You remember, it used to take 5 to 10 years to get a medicine to market. And so we used to use historical data to teach the concepts. I know the process of medical testing inside and out. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, folks, this is where you want to press your ear up to your speaker. You need to hear what I'm telling you. There has never been any kind of medical treatment that I can find that has ever gone through the legitimate FDA testing process without animal testing until now. And ladies and gentlemen, as you're close to the speaker now, listen to me. You are the flippin' animals. They're testing this on you. And the reason they didn't do animal testing is plain to anyone who can add 2 plus 2. They didn't want additional medical attention on this, so more doctors like the frontline doctors would speak out and censorship wouldn't stop the message. That's why they didn't do animal testing, and that's how you're being the animals. People are dropping dead. We don't have statistics. And if you watch a big pharma commercial at night, they spend 30 seconds on the wonderful things about the medicine and 30 seconds on how it'll kill you and all the black box contraindicated warnings. And yet we're hearing nothing like that with the vaccine. It's perfect. I asked a doctor, he said, you should get the vaccine. I said, well, there's no contraindications, which tells me there's not enough research to tell me if it's safe or not. He goes, well, then there aren't any contraindications.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the logic I'm being confronted with.
Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. You know, that's an investigative mantra that everyone should live by, or at least we do anyway. But yeah, okay, so, and you interviewed, had a recent interview with Ted Brewer too about the big pharma, which folks,
yeah,
make sure you go to thecommonsenseshow.com and scroll down through the articles. Because Dave's been working overtime, and I got to tell you, his work is just extremely cutting edge stuff. But okay, so I think I alienated a neighbor today, Dave, talking about this mRNA vaccination, which is not really a vaccine. This mRNA vaccine, the ultimate objective here, I think we can all agree, is for complete control. I mean, Walmart, Sam's Club, they're going to this digital vaccine kind of card identification system. In case you haven't heard, folks, that's what's happening. So, I mean, this is all for complete subjugation of the American population and the West, is it not?
Yeah, they could be, even if the vaccine had no contraindications, in reality, they could be injecting us with saline. But this is not about the saline. This is not about the disorder, the vaccine, the disease, the virus, anything. This is about total subjugation of a population. And, you know, I've had Democrats write to me anonymously, and I think they're higher up on the food chain because the way they worded things. And one person in particular said to me, we are really surprised at how easy we got control of the courts. How easy it is to convince the American people to do what's not in their own best interest, and you're still wasting your time writing articles.
Mm.
And I think that came from someone that was fairly high up on the food chain. and it's psyops, you know, trying to discourage me from going forward.
Sure.
But that is true. What they said, I can't argue with. We have a nation here that's dumber than a box of rocks. 55% can't name the vice president under Trump. Well, it was Pence and the great betrayer. It's not just him. We can't find London on a map for most students. I mean, we could go, but we can sure tell you what the name of the transvestite that's doing the transsexual story hour in Los Angeles County schools. We sure can do that.
That's... Oh, don't get me started there. And the science denying Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services Secretary under Biden, that cousin it from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Cousin it, I love it. I hadn't heard that before, Doug. That's a good one.
Oh, that's what I call it because I I'm being serious. I don't know what pronoun to use except confused. The guy was, he's a biological male dressing up in heels and stuff. Look, I don't know, but the bottom line is these are the people that, they want us to listen to. I mean, it's BS. But you know, the thing I was amazed at, again, folks, thecommonsenseshow.com, the thing I was amazed at in your article of today, you had pointed out, let me just pull this up here again. You had pointed out, the FEMA, the 2009 FEMA camp documents, FM39.4, and other documents, documentation. And you had brought DHS into it. And this is what I was amazed at. People are now starting to wake up. The conservative treehouse, Sundance coming on and saying, comrades, DHS is preparing to monitor travel of Americans they alone define as domestic extremists. Well, let me tell you something. On the top third of that list as of domestic extremists is under H's is Hodges and then Hagman. I guess I would come first because of A versus O. But so, and then your name, everyone watching and listening, you're on that list too.
Mm-hmm.
And you point that out in your article. And now people are starting just to come to realize today, the soup that we're in.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I was told by someone, not Vance Davis, former NSA that I interview a lot, but someone who was active NSA, who was really distraught and trying to get to retirement. And he told me, he said, Dave, are you familiar with the MMPI? And being a former therapist, I said, well, yeah, I'm very familiar with it. It's a personality assessment on 16 different scales, and then you get a total scale for your mental health. And he said, what we have here at the NSA, when we monitor people, he said, we're much more sophisticated than the Chinese social credit system. And I said, how so? He goes, you are gauged on different scales, and then you're given a threat matrix summation score. And he said, now, I don't know what scores are redlined for elimination, incarceration and reeducation, or to leave alone. He goes, I don't know that. I don't have that information. I just know the process exists. And now we're seeing proof of that in reality. What you just said to me is part of what they're saying. They know what website you go to. You don't have to have written one article, been on one radio show, not said one negative thing about the government. But if you went to the Common Sense Show, the Hagman Report, or whatever, visit stevequayle.com, going to listen to his great outstanding conference that's coming up in June.
Which you're going to speak at.
You're on the list. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because you're going to be speaking at that conference. And folks, if you want some A-list speakers, Dave Hodges is among them. Extinction Protocols, go to Jen.
And so is Lisa Haven, one of your guests tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've got to say, you know, when Dave Hodges speaks, he brings the goods. You just heard a lot of the goods brought forth. And this is why you've got to tune into his radio show, his video reports that he does, and his articles. They're all very well researched. You kind of blew me away with the Arizona stuff, although I knew it. I guess I didn't know the depth of Ducey and company, you know, there.
Oh. Well, there was such an orchestrated plot against Trump. Let me just give you one other symptom. This is just kind of like the pimple on the cheek. The Secretary of State of Arizona tweeted 2 days before the election, she called Trump a neo-Nazi, and she's a Republican, supposedly. She's a rhino, Republican in name only. And this is the example of the penetration of the communist ideology into our mainstream politics. You know, when Trump was elected, I made the same mistake that most people made. Happy days are here again. Send a few thousand people to prison. The swamp will be largely drained. We'll have to monitor it. But we basically can get back to being a constitutional republic. And what I didn't realize, Doug, is that the swamp is the government.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't realize that.
I don't think any of us.
I do now.
Yeah. And you know, how do you feel, Dave Hodges, how do you feel about President Trump at this point? Do you think he tried, or do you think he was somehow sucked into the swamp, or do you think he was just overwhelmed by its depth and breadth?
I think he's been compromised and he was given parameters of operation. Mm. You and I and Gary Haven sat poolside in Branson, and you witnessed as I talked to an advisor to Trump on the phone, and it was a 20-minute conversation, and he was asking pointed questions about what was going on with Section 230 and how big tech was violating it. And we had 5 weeks before the midterm elections to correct it so conservatives like us could be in big tech influencing people by exposing what was going on. And that should have immediately got Trump's attention, not just because I said it, but because his advisor thought it was the real deal. And nothing ever happened. He never did a thing to big tech. They can ban him. They can censor him. They censor his followers. And he never did anything. And we have to ask, why wouldn't you act in your own political self-preservation mode? And I think he was compromised. And I hate to tell you what I think the compromise was. Now, did he do great good as a president? Oh, no question. He came in and he did away with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have turned America into a corporate-run nation with absolutely no control by Congress or the president or anybody else. A 22-person panel would have run the country. And he did away with that. That right there gets him the Medal of Honor in my book. But then he goes down and he does other things. He brings businesses back. He puts China in their place like nobody has since the 1960s. I mean, move after move was brilliant. He was the General Patton of presidents on the battlefield. And then something happened at the beginning of COVID that took away his presidency. You let a little twerp, a little fart in a whirlwind like Fauci run your country. And the man has no science behind what he says. Remember, I'm a data science guy. He has nothing. He's even admitted now, Doug, that, gee, the social distance, that's our best guess. When we can open up, that's our best guess. Wear a face mask. No, don't wear a face mask. It's only for first responders. Now wear 2 face masks. Hey, why not 10, Fauci? He ran the country, and Trump faded into the background. And they let this medical tyranny destroy our economy, take away our Constitution, make us more vulnerable to terrorism and to military action against our forces, and he let it happen. He had the presidency. He could have stopped the election on election night when they stopped counting and declared the Insurrection Act right then and brought in the National Guard. And he didn't do it. Why? And I'll tell you why. He's compromised. That's why.
Okay. Before you move on to that, about Fauci. Who headed the presidential task force on the coronavirus? It was Pence, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do you know what Pence did a month after the inauguration? He started his own PAC for 2020 to run for president.
For 2024?
No. It was 2020. I'm not joking. It's 2020. I have the documents.
For 2020?
2020. I wrote articles about this.
Wait a second.
I said,
you're right.
Trump,
okay.
You need to look into your vice president. He's holding fundraisers to run for president in 2020. He was betting the Russian collusion delusion was going to take Trump out. Guarantee you.
Okay. You're right. I stand corrected. I apologize. I was 4 years behind you or 4 years ahead of you. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. 3 years anyway. Which
enemies below, enemies within, enemies above.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Totally infiltrated. Right. The president was totally infiltrated. And I don't know what they have on him. I know what the rumor mill says, but I don't have any proof. So I'm not going to dignify the allegations by repeating them. But I will tell you this. He was a man who was compromised because he didn't even act in his own best interest.
And that's a statement, I think, for the ages. He was a man who didn't even act in his own best interest. That speaks volumes, I think. When you stand down, when you have the moral and righteously moral authority to stand up, and in fact, the obligation, and don't, what's going on? So I think you're right on that.
You know, Doug, let me frame this too, where this is going. All these things add up to one thing. You've got intermediaries from Pelosi to Doug Ducey who are enriching themselves, and they think they're currying favor with the globalists who are going to run things. They think they're trying out for a position there. It's really obvious. But the reality is they're brown shirts, and they're going to be treated like brown shirts, and they're going to be eliminated by the powers that be because brown shirts are always killed. And that's in my article this morning where I detailed 3 examples of it. And these people are no different. But these people right now have sold out America. The end of the sellout is this. It's the Weifang speech and his 2 predecessors who say the same thing. Every American must die. Folks, they are coming for you. And this distraction, black versus white, seeing racism in wallpaper, YouTube eliminating a chess channel because it had black and white pieces in the game, true story. When you look at all this, these are all distractions to divide and conquer. They don't want black people, white people, Asians, atheists, Christians, Jews on the same side, because then we see the BS they're doing and we'll unite against it and stop it by sheer numbers. They got to keep us divided. But at the end of the day, they want every American dead. They have said it. And go read my article. Look at what Obama set up. He set up FEMA camps. He set up taking away the Constitution, taking away your business, taking away your house, taking away everything. Read it. It's all right there. And then if you don't believe me, go look up what I referenced and satisfy yourself by reading the original documents. They want you dead. There's no compromise here. You can't capitulate to these people. Death is their final solution for America.
I don't think I could have said that any better or any more succinct. They want us dead. They want you dead. They want me dead. They want Dave Hodges dead. Dave, we're out of time. I want to say thank you so much for your gracious gift of time. I know you're tremendously busy, but I'll tell you something. The work that you've been doing and continue to do is second to none. And I appreciate Thanks. Everything you do. And folks, you heard Dave Hodges. And Dave, I want to say thank you again for agreeing to speak at Extinction Protocols, the upcoming conference. I'm not sure exactly when is that? June?
Whatever. Yeah, June 11th through the 14th.
Yeah.
It's on stevequayle.com on
okay.
the website.
There. All right. Dave, thank you so very much. Thanks, I'll tell you Doug. What, a lot to think about. God bless you, my friend.
My pleasure.
All right. Folks, I have to tell you this too about Dave. That was one of the most surreal conversations I was a part of or overheard sitting poolside, Branson, Missouri, listening to Dave Hodges and Gary Haven speak to a presidential advisor about a meeting two days hence. Oh, the stories we could tell. Going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back.
And welcome to hour number two. This is the Hagmann Report on this, the 24th day of March, 2021. Thank you very much for putting up with me and for tuning in. The second hour, most important hour here with Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Go to ProvisInstitute.com and click on the link for his book, Saving the Constitution. By the way, last time I got this from my office today, in preparation of this, because I did not want to mess this up. This is the book Saving the Constitution. Now you might say, well, you've held that up in the past. Not this one, because look right here. Look right here. See, wait a minute, right over here. Remember, see that? You know what that says? I'll tell you what it says. It says, number one bestseller, author. Yes, best-selling author, Amazon. That's right. It's right there. See it? Okay, it's that. So this is nothing changed inside, but the cover's different. It's got that little ribbon there. So congrats to Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, for that milestone. Okay, we have a little technical issue where Richard Proctor cannot see us. So he's flying blind. You might say, well, no, you're flying blind. And you would be right, but nonetheless.
He's a pro. He can handle it.
He is. So, all right. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Richard Proctor, who, by the way, has assembled some groups. The check for, true to my word, although he hasn't gotten it yet because it was just sent today, but the check for the three groups, which I don't want to say I'm sponsoring or we're sponsoring. I guess in a sense we are. Has been
assisting.
There we go. Thank you for that. So that's been sent out, and I can't wait because you do good work. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Take it wherever you want to take it, and let's talk.
Yes. Well, first, let's chat about these meetings, these gatherings.
Okay.
Several people said to me that. You mean you didn't have any the first week? We didn't do anything because we thought everybody would be there. We thought the whole country would be inundating you. And I says, yeah, right. Nobody called. Well, we are now. And that came from about, six or eight people. And we have seven or eight scheduled right now for April. That's not nearly what we need for April.
No.
20 for the first month? No, I'm after 20 a week. That's what I'm after.
We gotta keep you busy.
That's only three a day at the outset. Cause 6 days a week, three a day. That's 20 a week. Maybe 2 days we have four. I don't mind. And we gotta mention this. Gary Moore, I believe he's in Indiana. No, he may not be. I didn't write that down. Yes. Genevieve. It's in Illinois, okay? It's a group there. They got angry with him because he hadn't signed up with me yet. They have 20 scheduled already. 20.
Wow.
Now, I think that's outstanding. I really do. We're looking forward to that. And one of the things that I'm going to encourage people to do on this event is when we meet together, if they feel like it was worthwhile for them, I'm going to ask them to schedule another one for in their home, in their place, in their location. I'd like this thing to grow and grow and grow. And I'm going to talk here about why. Why is this so important? Last week, we spoke a little bit about how this is a grassroots thing for the summit meeting that's being planned. So there are people, not just one group of people looking around the country, but people involved at the grassroots level. That's true. But guys, that's not the most important piece. Yesterday I was pondering this situation quite closely. And I was thinking about a minister. I don't remember what state it's in, and that doesn't matter. He's in jail because he had a meeting of his people, his group, his parishioners, those people. He had a meeting and they've arrested him and he's in jail now and he's been in jail quite a while. He's not the only one. Several other pastors of Christian churches are in jail or have been threatened with jail. Several have had their places locked down. Some have had them burned down. Now, as I thought about that, I thought, just a minute. This is Christian persecution that's going on all over the world. How is it starting here? Well, it's starting with an excuse that there's a disease. So everybody has to wear a mask. That's a measurement. Wearing mask is a measurement. Social distancing, that's a measurement. I haven't heard of any Oriental churches shut down. None. No Muslims have been closed. None. Just Christian churches. At the same time, Christian or United States brothels, beer halls, gambling casinos, all of that rolls on perfectly with no worry about social distancing or masks or anything else. Do you see a trend, folks? Do you see a trend? I feel like this particular thing has been set. We're being stigmatized. That's why we should be wearing masks, not because there's no disease, not because we want to protect ourselves from our friends and neighbors. We want to protect ourselves from the federal government.
Wait a minute. Are you arguing or asserting that we should be wearing masks?
No, I'm not asserting that we should. I'm just asserting for the reason that we are should be that.
Ah, distinction with a dramatic difference. Okay.
Right. Yes, we should. Those of us who are wearing them, and I just included us, I'm going to go to church this week for the first time with a mask on. And if I can do, well, maybe not this week, but it'll be soon, with a mask on, and I'm going to speak to the congregation about this very subject. We should be wearing masks, not because there's a disease. That's a hoax. There isn't. There's so much indication, so much stuff that says there's no disease. If you put it all on paper, you'd fill your house, your room with it. You'd fill your room with it. There's so much. And it's all documented and true and tested. But none of the governments pay any attention. They just keep saying, if you don't do it, we'll put you in prison. But who are they getting? Christian people. This is a persecution of Christians. Now, let's think about what we're talking about here. This is more than just what you might think of a persecution. It's what's it also causing? It's not just masks, you guys. It's fear, not fear, but concern about going to the store. It's concerned about going to a restaurant. It's concern about going to the hospitals. In fact, most of the hospitals won't let you in unless you have one on, period. That's you can be dying true. In the street. They won't let you in unless you're wearing a mask.
That's true.
And I've had that experience here recently. I went to a particular clinic, big, nice clinic. Door, there's two girls sitting at the door. They're saying, you can't come in here without a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. You're not coming in here then. Well, I've got an appointment. Well, we'll check and see if he'll accept you without a mask. While I was waiting at the entranceway, uncomfortably waiting, all kinds of people came in and they kept asking them, even if they had a mask, have you got the sniffles? Do you have coughs? And those questions excluded people from entering the building even with a mask. Now, folks, that's not reasonable. Every hospital in the world, if somebody comes in normally, if someone comes in with an absolutely horrible, contagious disease, they don't throw them out. They put them in a room with positive airflow. They wear protective garb to protect themselves. They don't put protective on the person, but they put it on themselves. So if there was really a problem here, a real disease going on, the physicians would treat us whether or not we had a mask, and they would wear protective stuff for themselves. And if it was serious enough, they would put us in rooms with positive airflow, so that we wouldn't contaminate any place else in the hospital. That's how it's done. I worked in hospitals for 20 years. That's how it's done. You don't exclude a person because they have a disease. You protect yourself and your patients from the disease they have. But if they don't have one and nobody cares, then they don't care either. Now they just want the symbol. We want you to give in.
Okay, forgive me. I'm not sure I can
get. You do that. I want you to talk about this.
Okay, I'm not sure I can get past your statement about wearing masks, because since we've been together during this plan, scan, demic, whatever you want to call it. You've been very, very assertive by saying, look, this is a violation of the Constitution, of our amendment, of our rights under the U.S. Constitution. Okay. So now what you're saying is, so you're proposing a tactic, I think. Is this what I'm hearing? A tactic?
Well, it's to that point. I agree with everything I said before. Absolutely. Okay. And if you're wearing the mask because the government told you to, get real, take it off. But if you're wearing the mask to protect yourself from government persecution, and that's why you are, then I don't hold it against you any longer.
Okay, then what about, well, where do you draw the line? If they say, well, okay, now we're going to talk about the gene therapy, the non-vaccine vaccine.
I'm not talking about vaccines. That's okay. A whole other issue.
So, all right. So in other words, you're not saying, well, you know, we're going to capitulate to avoid persecution. We're going to capitulate and take the, you know. Okay. All right. I get what you're saying.
Please no. Please don't take it to that step. That vaccine, that implant is death.
Yes. I believe that. Yes.
DEATH, all caps in about a pitch 20 or 50 or 100. It's death.
I do believe that, and yeah, okay. So, all right, just so I'm clear on this, because so in other words, you're saying, look, I'm going to do this as a tactic to avoid persecution at this level. Okay, again, not capitulating to a government mandate, but using this as a tactic to live to fight another day on another, you know, battle on another in another venue. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yes, but I'm not saying that everybody should do that. Okay. I, for one, am not going to wear a mask anyway, except one time. I'm not going to do it anyway, because I don't like my rights trampled on. But I know now that many of the people in my neighborhood that are wearing a mask, whether it's a fake or not, they're doing it because they've been asked to by their ecclesiastical authority.
Which is different than a mandate from a governor.
That's right. An asked to is not a mandate.
That's right. Okay. Okay. And to that point, and I'll just say this. I had to, this weekend, I had to go somewhere and, engage in a business transaction with a place I very well known to me. And, there's mutual respect there. And, the state was on them tremendously. I mean, bearing down on them. And no one came to their aid. Anyway, long story short is I said, look, out of principle, I'm not going to wear a mask into your establishment. So we need to have a conversation right now so I don't disturb, you know, your universe here. And, to make a long story short, they accommodated me. All right. So why did I bring this up? I brought this up because I get what you're saying about this. Continue. Go ahead and continue.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to get this through, you know, really grasp this.
This does not just apply to masks. It applies to handshaking, social distancing, contact, everything.
Okay.
Everything. Folks, we are being stigmatized as a nation. Christian nation as the terrorist stuff filters down. It's going to go from white people to white Christian people to all Christian people. That's how it's going to go.
Think about
brothers
that.
And sisters. And if I can use the term brothers and sisters, because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, without one question, why do I bring this up? Why is the second reason I'm bringing this up? Folks, the only physical tool we have to protect ourselves so that we can be secure in what we're doing and why is the Constitution. That's going to be destroyed. Going to be. That's not a maybe, perhaps. It's going to be destroyed. The only people that will then have the Constitution itself are those that are holding it up in their own communities, in their own environment, with their own people, with their neighborhood. they'll still have it, but they'll be under the gun. I'm not saying they should run out and show it to everybody and say, we are, but you need to know what that item is. You cannot shunt this aside and say, oh, I learned it in school. Oh, no sweat. I don't need to know it. Folks, we are going to be the brunt of severe persecution by the federal and state governments. We need to understand what our Constitution is, and we need to know it because we'll be the only ones with it. Folks, this is more than just learning about the Constitution. This isn't even saving the country any longer. This is saving our community. Now, the meetings that I'm providing become even more important. Why? Because the day's not far distant when programs like Doug's could be off the air.
I guarantee it, yeah.
Then the only way we can communicate is with small groups over Skype and Zoom. Skype better because Skype's not followed quite as much as Zoom is. Skype is better. Get Skype on your computer. That's the only way we'll be able to easily communicate. That's not saying it's still a secret. It's going to be tracked. Okay, they're going to track it. There's no way we can live in this community and not be tracked. It's being kept. Keep it in Bluffdale here in Utah. They got a couple of zettabytes of storage information. Doesn't sound like much, does it? 2 zettabytes? 3? A zettabyte has 21 zeros behind it. A zettabyte is something like every word spoken. 1 zettabyte is something like every word spoken since Adam and Eve came out of the garden. That's how big a zettabyte is. And they had 2 or 3 of them in Bluffdale watching us, keeping track of everything we do. So, wow. We're not free in any way, okay? We're not free.
And to your point, too, you had mentioned earlier about, just real quick, about, you know, the houses of worship, Christian particularly being closed, as well as bars and taverns. And where did the revolution really, where was it planned, and where was it really mapped out? And that was both in churches and in taverns and places where people, you know, the founding fathers would meet others in secret. And so they've taken that away from us and forced us to be monitored in such a way where it's really untenable. And now they just passed. And what you said earlier, too, about the Constitution being taken away from us, it will be. It is right now by Biden's reengineering the New Deal and by DHS's putting all of us as domestic extremists and monitoring us. And top of that list, as you said, Christians, folks, I'm telling you, go to Conservative CS and read that, the article about DHS monitoring. Who's at the top of the list? It's us. It's the Christian population, the white Christians, especially the evangelicals.
It'll go to the black Christians too.
Yes.
It's going to go to the Asians. It's going to go to everybody. Christianity is the goal. Right now, it's white Christians, but it won't stay there.
Very true. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going. I love this.
I want you to interrupt. I want to talk about this rather than my just talking, but just saying it. These gatherings are crucial because they may be the only way we have of communicating with each other. And eventually that will even be taken away from us. But you must already have a basis in your community to still meet in your communities with your friends. Don't worry about this stupid hoax. It's not a problem. The problem is the government is preparing to take us over. And this is one of the ways. Divide and conquer. Divide the families. Keep them. Some of them we wear masks and some won't. One will be mad with the other will be mad with the other. It's a device to divide us as people. Everyone should realize that the only reason you should wear a mask is because you don't want to be singled out. Because Christians that do wear masks will be protected before those who don't. I'm sorry, guys. This is a sequence of events. The first persons that will be put in the isolation camps, the FEMA camps, and all that kind of stuff are those who are rebelling. The next group will be everybody else that they don't like.
But isn't Richard Proctor, is it not our duty to rebel at this point, both as patriots and as Christians? In other words, we have to rebel yes. against this tyranny. It's obedience to God.
That's right. It's our duty to do that. It's our duty to rebel. Absolutely. I do not disagree. I'm not going to wear a mask, even though I understand what it's for. I'm not going to. Just one time I'm going to, because I want to make a point when I'm talking to that group of people.
I see.
But folks, you've got to stay together. That's the most important part of this. We are not safe as Christian brothers and sisters. If you want to know what it's going to be like, look at the modern Chinese country and how they treat Christians. If you want to see what it's be like, look at the Muslims and how they treat Christians. Look at what's going on around us and see how Christians are being treated. It's coming here too. And it's been slipped in. It's being slipped in by the hoax of COVID-19. Then it's going to be isolated and pointed at particular people, whether you're wearing a mask or not. It will reach us. We must fight against it. The question you asked a few minutes ago, where was this all planned out? It was planned out in the Satan's panel room. They planned it out, and now they've been putting it out on us. It's planned in Satan's councils. That's where it's been planned. Some of those satanic councils have been right here in the United States with corporal people. That's
yes.
where it's planned out.
And it's mapped out in, if I may say at this point, it's mapped out in Richard Proctor's Liberty series. I will say that that series is full of important historical, and I would dare say contemporaneous information about how this is all playing out. It's almost predictive in its nature. That's the Liberty series. Go to provisinstitute.com. So, I hear what you're saying. I understand it. I do agree with the tactical approach as you explained it. And folks, you're gonna have to go back and listen to what he said, Richard Proctor said, because it's important that not to misrepresent what he said about how we fight this.
I'm not saying we should all start wearing masks so that we'll be okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to fight against this thing 100%, but we need to understand why we're being asked to wear masks.
And that, you know, when I have to tell you, when you sent me the email prior to today's show, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, wow, what does he have to say that was different than previous? And I see where you're headed with this and how you're looking at this. So you're kind of taking the larger picture approach to this. And, I'm a big picture guy myself, so I like this. You're right. And to your point, and then I'm going to be quiet, but to your point, you know, that shooting in Colorado, it was at the hands of an adherent to the Islamic ideology, okay? And yes. I've been monitoring various chat rooms and forums, and what the left, the communist left, has done and is deliberately doing is comparing evangelical Christians to the Islamic philosophy of jihad in order to stigmatize and to eradicate evangelical Christians and Christians as well as the Islamic component. It's something to watch and see, and I'm not surprised.
I want to mention something, Doug, now that's personal to me.
Okay.
Everybody can listen. I'm not saying that they shouldn't listen. I am of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay? Everybody knows that because I've talked about it before, but I want to make it a point today. We believe in a prophet of God on earth today guiding us. Okay?
All right.
About 2 years ago, he began having us meet at home more as often as we met in the church buildings, at home with our families. It has now become a part of our religion that we meet at home with our families. along came the COVID-19. So our churches were closed, but we were already prepared because we were meeting at home already. You see what I'm saying? Then came the mandates for the mask, and I was very disappointed because he, the prophet, began to wear masks. But you see, and I was disappointed until this thought came to me. He's not telling us to wear masks because of a disease. He's telling us to wear masks as a group so that we will, as much as can, be protected from this thing that we're doing. He is going along with what's happening as he will continue. And soon he knows, and I know, that we will no longer have church meetings, but we'll be prepared. But here's what's happening because of the mask, even in our church relationships here in my community. Those who don't want to wear a mask, like me, are not felt quite as good as those who want to wear a mask, like the others. Some of them won't stand next to me. I walk towards them, they back away. We are segregating our own communities because of the mask. So now, my goal is going to be to help the people understand why the mask. It's not a disease. It's a political maneuver to destroy our unity. And our prophet, who goes through the whole world, is telling us the same thing, but he's not saying it outright. He's saying, be ready to be in your homes, in a community, and in a family. That's what he's doing. And he's not pointing the finger at anybody. But he's following what the government law or what the government state people say he should do, but at the same time knowing that the real goal is to keep us together and united in our religious and community groups, not lose track. I feel that we must begin to concentrate on, if you want to wear a mask, go ahead and do it. I don't care. It's not important as long as you understand that it's to keep, to show, for you personally, to show that it's only because I want to not violate this thing from the state. But I know that it's not for the disease. I know it's not for the disease. That's how I would like folks to think about it. Know that it's not. Here's an issue. Came last year in my home. I had a guy come in to do the asbestos. The stuff to keep the heat in your house in the attic.
Otherwise known as insulation, perhaps?
That's it. The word insulation. Us guys that are 120 and 40 and 50 have trouble with words. My wife is always helping me with words. And Doug, you help me with words too. That's good. The insulation. This gentleman came in to wearing a mask, and I said, sir, we don't wear a mask in my home. And he said, no, I'm wearing the mask because I've got to protect myself from the insulation that we're blowing into your ceiling. Have at it, guy. You do what you want to do. I understand.
Now, that's the proper use of respiratory equipment in my view, but go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So I look at it that way now, but what I want everybody to do is look at it the same way. It's, if you want to wear one, go ahead, but know that it's not because there's a disease. It's because you want to be able to associate with people who won't associate with you unless you are.
So okay, some might say, now let me take a devil's advocate approach here for a second.
Oh, do that, please, because okay. I know I'm really treading a point here. It's a thin line.
It's in my view, it is a very thin line because some might say, well, okay, what you're saying is, okay, we're going to wear the mask because we don't want to necessarily get into an entanglement with a person, or a business or our government. At this point over a mask, because what it's doing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying we're going to take the lesser evil or The easy way out. Okay. Yeah. I didn't really want to come right out and say that, but you're taking the easy way out and saying, all right, I'm going to wear a mask just because I don't want to go through the crap that, you know, not wearing one is going to give me.
I'm going to allow people in my environment to do that. Okay.
Okay.
I'm still not going to let anybody come in my home with a mask on unless they have a definite physical reason for it, like the insulation guys. Okay, we don't wear masks in this house.
Right. It's simply because they don't work. So, I mean, the microphone
sounds. That's the reason, but yeah. That's also, I do not want my constitutional rights violated.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, when I go, if I'm invited to, and I think I will be, to speak in our church meeting that we're holding, where everybody's sitting 20 feet apart and every other 12 rows, and you get the picture I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do.
And masks and everything and hiding behind. Well, they don't ask me to wear a mask. I just won't go because I'm so angry about why they are.
I get that.
So this particular one instance, I plan to go and speak. And when I go, I'm going to wear my clown mask. And then I'm going to take it off and say, folks, this is stupid. And then talk to them about why it's no good. But then I'm going to move into why the brethren have asked us to do these things. And what he's preparing us for is complete isolation. Don't isolate yourself from your community. Don't use this as a barrier for your family. My family's against me pretty much. Actually, almost all of them against me pretty much. And they don't want me to send them stuff that indicates that my pattern is correct. They don't want it. They tell me not to do it and don't talk about it.
So is that your target audience, though? I mean, in addition to others, but you mentioned your family, and I understand that because I've got extended family who are pro mask and pro Fauci and pro non-vaccine. Okay, I get that. So this is your method to reach them with ostensibly or allegedly with logic and facts. Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to do both. I'm trying to reach them with something that's right on both sides. I don't want to be ostracized from my family. I don't want them to be ostracized from me, but I do want them to understand that I know and I'll teach and I'll help you understand that it is a fake deal.
Okay. All right. So, all right. It almost seems.
You see, there is really a fine line and people can choose it either way they want and jump on it.
Right.
I understand that, but you've got to remember something, folks. Our purpose is to follow the Lord, not Lucifer. And if you feel that following the Lord means you will not wear one, then cheers. Don't wear it. Period. And fight it. Fight the fight 100%.
Wow.
So don't ostracize your community, your friends, because they are, and they think they're doing it for a good purpose, but they're not.
Okay.
Help them understand they're not doing it for a good purpose, but don't give in yourself.
Wow. All right. It almost sounded like tortured logic, but now I can see where I understand what your objectives are, and I understand what the tactics are. And I suppose, hey, it just might be effective. I don't know.
I have no idea if it's going to be effective or not, but that's what I feel like. That's what came to me yesterday when I was pondering this whole thing about why are the Christian ministers being arrested and why are the Christian churches being closed while the Oriental region religions are not, and the houses of prostitution are not, and the gambling halls are not. All the things not dealing with honest Christianity and Jesus Christ are not being closed, just the things that are a part of Christianity and Jesus Christ.
All right.
I want people to see that difference. I want them to understand that that's what's really happening. We're being stigmatized as a group.
We are, but if not this issue, it'll be the next issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And this is, so you're actually just maybe buying time. Because here's what I think. I'm not getting any younger, all right? I got some spunk and I got some fight left in me. I'm not going to turn this over to my children. I'm not going to turn this mess over to my children. I'm not going to watch as Biden and his handlers, specifically not Biden, Mr. Potato Head, but as they ruin our, as they finish off our constitutional republic. Okay, so I'm not going to let that happen. So,
yes, me too.
Okay, so now what I'm saying is, now this is just me, because you are very honest with us and with me and the audience. Here's, I'm going to be very honest with you and the audience. Mask comes off. Ain't nothing going in my arm. Ain't getting the jab. No one's coming to take my guns away. And if they do, I hope, you know, look, I'm not a violent guy. I'm not advocating violence, but I hope they don't have families, because if I'm going down, I'm going to take one, two, three, or I don't know, however, with, I'm going to take as many as I can with me. Okay, because I am not going to put up with the Hurricane Katrina-like aftermath of gun confiscation. Ain't happening. Not happening. So
that's another reason for these meetings that I'm holding. I want to teach people how to do safe and effective sanctuary counties.
Okay, which, oh, do we need that? We need
that. That's another reason to do it. This is not just for the, these little gatherings aren't just for the people who already know. These are for the people who don't know also. We need to reach out to those people. You guys need to inundate with me with so many meetings that I can't possibly handle it all, because everybody needs this. We need the tool of the Constitution. We need to understand it. We need to know how to protect ourselves. And if we don't start doing something like that, we're down the road. For example, Doug, the example you just used, if you were in a sanctuary county or city or community, but mostly a county, that's really what we should be aiming for.
Sure.
But if it can't be done, then we should have a sanctuary city. But anyway, this means, now remember I said you've got to be able to enforce it. I didn't say it quite that way, but that's what I said.
Yep.
It's got to be effective. That's the term I used. You shouldn't have to stand alone to defend your weapons.
Well, you're right. Yeah, you're 100%
right. Your community should be standing together with you. For example, I'm one, I don't have any guns, and I don't think I could pull the trigger. I know how to use them. I've been taught. I was in the Air Force, and they pretended like we might need one once. And once when I was in Vietnam, and I wanted to go down to the city of Tuiwa, which is about 20 miles distance off the base, they had me carry a gun. I had a 45 all loaded. Yes, sure, Bob. I didn't know what to do. I hoped I know what end to use. That's facetious. I knew what end to use. I just wasn't sure I could.
You mean you could morally or physically?
Physically.
Okay.
I'm afraid of taking life. I can't take the life of a deer. I can't take the life of a rabbit. I can't take the life of a chicken. Somebody else can, and I'll eat the meat.
That's the easy way out, brother.
I will. I'll definitely eat it all, but somebody else has got to do that first step.
Do the dirty work. Yeah. Did you go turkey hunting? Yeah, I picked it out of the freezer at the store. I get that. Okay. But you're right. I guess the tribal nature of where we're at here with the sanctuary counties, I guess we have to gather together, as opposed to a civil war versus a revolution. There's a distinction there as well. You know, they want to push us into a civil war. We want the revolution, because the revolution is going to fix our constitutional republic and then lessen the goading into a civil war. I think that's what you're saying as well, if you follow my logic on that.
Yes, I am, because I want the community to help, because I'm not sure I can do it. But there's somebody around here who can, many who can. I'm sure there are others like me who cannot.
Mm. Well,
it's very tough to take life. One time I went...
Yeah.
Went fishing, and I was, I might have caught one of those fish. I'd have hurt him. Oh, no. One time I went partridge shooting, I didn't hit any of them. I shot, but I didn't hit any. And I was in agony all night. I might have hit one of those birds. Oh, no. Yet I can get on a rifle range and marksman, okay?
No, you know, I understand. And you know, folks, it's easy to be a keyboard warrior and say, well, you come and take them. You're prime for my cold dead hands, or I'll take you out when you show it. You know, it's all bravado. It's all internet muscles when you're talking like this, a lot of the times. Now, if you find yourself in a situation, you know, it's a whole, let me just say this. I can tell you this. And I'm sure you know this from your own experience. It's a whole different ballgame when you are in a situation and you've got to make a decision if you're going to take a life or not.
All right? Now, there's two different deals on this. There's the one where you're actually facing him and pulling the trigger.
Yes.
There's another one where you're in a barrier and he's in a barrier and you're shooting at each other. That's two different deals.
Oh, the anonymity that provides, yes, I understand that. And people, and folks, we need to have those people who advocate for, taking back our country by force, we need to have a conversation about this, because it's for this very reason. It's a lot different when you're facing an enemy and you see the whites of their eyes versus you're facing an enemy and you're shooting from a bunker. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, those are whole different deals. But there's another thing too. The Lord doesn't want us to be aggressors. We shouldn't be taking back our country. We should be protecting our country. And thus we take it back.
What's the difference? I mean,
well, I think there's a big difference.
Okay.
One, if my community, we get together as a group, we have a militia, and we get together as a group, and we run out there to find somebody who's against us, and we fight with them, or we have protected as a group, we prepare ourselves. That group comes, you're defending yourself, then you're in your rights in the eyes of the Lord.
Understood. And you know, we're approaching this from a Christian perspective as well. And I think,
yes,
isn't that kind of interesting how you started out, with respect to describing, talking about the persecution of Christians, and then, pardon this phrase, circling back around to, how we are to act as Christians. And I didn't mean to use that
absolutely
phrase.
But if you, again, I'm going to refer to my religion, the Book of Mormon. Maybe folks have heard about that. The Book of Mormon, we believe, is a historical account of the people who lived on this continent prior to Columbus's arrival. Okay? Started here about 600 BC and were here pretty much until Columbus came in different ways. There was a righteous group and an unrighteous group fighting between themselves regularly. The righteous group protected themselves. They never aggressively went out anywhere. If they protected themselves, they were blessed in two things. If they were righteous and they were protecting themselves, the Lord fought with them. If they went out to attack, the Lord did not fight with them.
Makes sense. It's not unlike the Christian Bible. And you know, this
it is, yes.
Yeah. And I don't want people to get hung up or lost in, you know, what I personally believe or what you personally believe or what your faith is or what my faith is. It's a Judeo-Christian ethic that as you have often stated, okay, this country was built on Judeo-Christian ethos, you know, the Abrahamic covenants this kind of backbone of our Constitution is,
yes,
the Christian
it is.
Faith.
Absolutely. I believe the Constitution was revealed not word by word, but concept by concept.
Yes, yes. Yes. And it follows the Christian Bible pretty well. In my
yes,
view.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
It does.
So, you know,
you mentioned.
Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned something, Doug, that's very important that I really hadn't concentrated on enough. When I began this conversation, I said, brothers and sisters, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us not, any of us, get concerned about the different beliefs we have.
The minutia.
I don't mind.
Right.
I don't mind that you folks have a different belief than I do. I don't care about that a bit. Please don't care about mine either. Folks, we're not supposed to be in conflict with each other. We're Christians. Let's live Christian. And Jesus Christ would never have persecuted anybody or been mad or insisted that anybody believe what he did.
Well, no. And a lot of times, and a perfect example of this is when, I don't know what the LDS belief system is, nor do I really, nor is it an issue about, you know, the rapture, the timing of the rapture. Is it the pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, post-wrath, pre-wrath, or whatever? To me, I don't care. Okay. I just don't care. Because as long as we agree on the one solid concept that the only way to get to the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ,
Absolutely. Now let me explain something about the rapture. I personally don't believe the rapture the way many of the Protestant people believe in the rapture.
Right.
But I believe in the rapture in a different way than they do. You see what I mean? The concept is the same. It's how I believe in it differently than how they believe in it, or how you believe in it,
but that's,
or how whoever it is. But you have your own way, and I don't care.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. This is more of a theological. This reminds me of something a little bit different. This reminds me of a conversation I had with my wife. Well, take this route to go to. Where we were going. And I said, no, I'm going to take this route. You know, look, we end up in the same spot. We have the same beliefs. We have the core beliefs and the same beliefs in a God and a Savior. It's just different. To me, it didn't matter which route or which roads we took. And I want to be careful because, you know, I know people are going to just get on there and say, oh, you're advocating a false theology, whether it's my beliefs or your beliefs. No. We have the same beliefs. We just have different ways of looking at it. And anyway, it's not the core concept of the conversation. So anyway, that's
right. And I'd like to say one more thing.
All right.
The Lord doesn't like contention.
That's right.
He doesn't want people to be contentious at all.
Right.
And when you argue with anger about religion, that's contention. If you discuss differences,
yes.
Of opinion just for discussion, that's not anger.
Oh, no. And you know, my good friend Steve Quayle, we talk about this in depth a lot off air. And I got to tell you, you know, it's that the self-proclaimed Christians who cause contention among and within the Christian community, to me, represent and present some of the greatest challenges of our community, of our Christian core, the core of Christianity. And this is something I don't want to anger God. Okay. I want to be obedient. I want to be an obedient servant. So I don't want to, all I know is I don't know a whole lot of stuff. That's what I know. You know what I mean? I know how much or how little I know. And
now let me mention something else here, Doug, on the same subject.
All right.
I was a missionary for our church. I went to Brazil as a missionary. Okay? We talked to people. We didn't argue with them. We talked to them.
Sure.
If they liked what they heard, we helped them know more about what we believe. If they liked what they heard, then we encouraged them to become members. And many, many, many did. But none of them did that we argued with.
So you didn't club anyone over the head to convert
right.
them.
Oh. Nobody believed in us if we argued with them.
Huh. And that's something.
I will teach anybody about Christianity, about the Mormon Church, not that it deviates from Christ in the way, and deviates from Christian doctrine, and not at all. I will talk with anybody about it, but I won't argue with them.
Okay. Well, and all of this, okay, getting back to the conversation, to me, again, the only deal breaker we would have, the only deal breaker that we would have is if you said, oh, you know, no, there are many ways to get to heaven aside from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Then we have a,
that won't work.
Then yep. We got a problem. Okay.
Yep. That won't work.
So that's not even an issue. So, okay, getting back to the original discussion, which I'm kind of interested in, the tactics of rebellion is what you were talking about. If I could summarize it that way, when I say tactics of rebellion, how to be victorious against the evil, because what's behind this? Like you said it, this was all really made up in the bowels of some basement Luciferian kind of soup, if you will. And I believe that. I'm not sure if I described it right, but I believe that.
That's a good enough way to describe it. It is.
Yeah.
All planned out. Luciferian. It's all planned that way. Did you know that Luciferian Church is honored in the basements of the United Nations?
Yes, I've read that. I've heard that. I have never seen it with my own eyes, but yes.
Well, you got to go there and be allowed to go there to see it with your own eyes.
Yes, which I never really had a desire to do that. I've been there, but just shall I say on the
outside. Concepts, though. Its concepts are all Luciferian.
Yes.
Every bit of it is.
Yep.
Let me just read you something. I'm going to read this. I wasn't going to, but there's enough time. We have about 700 minutes or so.
Yeah.
There's enough time. This is a quote out of Volume 5, Section 4, page 69, talking about the United Nations goals. Okay? Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying here as I read this, because I'm going to read it right out of the book. Think about what's going on today with COVID-19 and the vaccine, the death vaccine. This is talking about population. If future numbers are to be kept within reasonable limits, it is urgent that measures to reduce fertility be started and made effective in the 1970s and 1980s. Financial assistance will be given to other countries considering such factors as population growth. Food and agriculture assistance is vital for any population-sensitive development strategy. Allocation of scarce resources should take account of what steps a country is in taking population control. There is an alternative view that mandatory programs may be needed. Mandatory programs about population control. That's what that is.
Where was this from, dare I ask?
This is from the United, it was quoted in the book, The Beast of East River. It is in the mission or the goals of the United Nations, written just like this, copied out.
As I said earlier, they're laughing at us. And I've said this many times. What has been brewed in your opening remarks, what has been brewed and planned for us in the basements and bowels of the Luciferian globalist elite is under the cover of darkness is now being brought and made more overt, and it's being pushed in our face, and they're laughing at us for not really understanding what their end of game objective is. And yet there it is right there spelled out for us.
Yes. I have a document called to kill a tree, you sever its roots. 60 pages, thereabouts. The whole thing is talking about how the United Nations is controlling and reducing the population of the world.
Why is it, in your estimation, that we have not had anyone in power, including President Trump, and especially President Trump, to kick the United Nations off of our soil? Now, he did take them to task many times, but he didn't really go through and say, look, I'm pulling your lease, get the hell out of here.
Literally. Yeah, and that was one of the things I was not pleased of with President Trump. That was one of the things. That particular organization should be destroyed out of our country. I don't care what you do, we're taking the land back. get your representatives, your ambassadors, and every one of them out of our country. Go to Brussels and meet. That's where your goal is anyway. Go there. Don't stay here. We won't do it any longer, nor will we pay another dime to your organization. Now, if we didn't do that, but we should do that.
We should have done that when we had the opportunity.
Yes.
Who knows when we'll ever get that again, because right now the centralization of power, the consolidation of power, is really taking shape under Biden and his handlers. It's at a frightening pace right now, and I say that carnally as opposed to spiritually, although spiritually it should alarm everyone.
The volume, the Liberty series,
yep,
tells you exactly who those handlers are,
yep,
by name. It tells you what they're doing and how they're doing it by instance, one after the other, in categories, how the media does it, how tracking the population does it, how the United Nations doing it, how the North American Union was doing it. All of these things focusing on one thing only: destroy the United States and its constitution and the people. And that's what's been going on.
Yes.
The UN was started by that group of people. First, they started with the League of Nations in 1921. Our Senate wouldn't pass it. By the time the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, got in there for the next 20 years, when the United Nations was presented in exactly the same coat, they were exactly the same thing, just called a different name, all but three senators voted for it. We were taught. Today, I would speculate that except for those people who pay attention, all but very few would be for the United Nations. Oh, look at its mission. Just read its mission. It's a beautiful mission. It's going to help us. Oh, it's so nice. Oh, we should do that. That's their goals. That's their lie. Not their goals. That's their lie. And this particular paragraph says we got to reduce the population. We got to control population. We're going to give financial help to countries that will reduce their population. We've got to pay people to help them reduce their population. We've got to do everything we can to reduce their population. And the number of different items that are brought up in that how to sever its roots is a very important item. And homosexuality is one, and gay marriage is one, and Gardasil was one, and I can go on and on and on.
You're right.
All part of destroying the population of this country. World, not just the ideas. No. All of these things are pushed to destroy population.
You're exactly correct. We've got exactly 2 minutes left, and I just want to tell everyone, folks, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's Dr. Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Saving the Constitution, putting together groups of 10. There's 3+ groups already, at least 3 I'm assisting. I've assisted.
Oh, there's about 6 scheduled.
Okay,
right,
6
now.
Scheduled. Hey, it's not too late. Let's create a very busy schedule for the good doctor, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, and contact him to arrange a group meeting. All right, do that.
Yes. Remember, we've got to do it to be communities together before we can no longer do it and keep our communities together.
You got that right. And we are running out of time in this program and the larger time frame. So this is why we need to do it. All right, my friend, I want to say thank you so very much, especially working with us through the technical difficulties here of not being able to see us. You're a pro. You did a great job.
Well, I'm not even sure you guys are there because I can't see you. Maybe you're not even there. Maybe you recorded all of this beforehand.
I don't know. I could be a holographic. Although if I was a hologram, I'd make Eric make me a better looking one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I don't mean that to you. I mean that to all of us. It's a good idea.
God bless you, my friend, and thank you for sharing your insights. This was a different kind of a segment here, but I'll tell you what. It's going to get people talking, and it's going to get people thinking, and that's what you do. That's what you do best.
That's my goal.
All right, brother. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of us. Let him guide our steps. Let's be obedient to God Almighty, right? We need to do that. Let's gather together and fight the evil that lurks to oppress us. God bless. Good night.